Good afternoon and welcome everyone to the Westprint Sports Review. It's proudly brought to you by Westprint. They're based at 9 Pereri Street in New Lynn. Their number is 09-827-8531 or you can email them on westprint.co.nz. And I have to say, the sun is shining here in Sandringham. And while it has been a fantastic weekend of sports for right across New Zealand and across the world, and of course we're always going to, as we always do, every Monday we start off with a bit of rugby, and I'd like to welcome my good friend, and well, I might not call him a friend because there's going to be a dig about my height, former All Black AJ Whitten. Good afternoon to you, AJ. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, Biggie. And yeah, right, it was a big weekend of sport. Not good for New Zealand teams, as we have seen on the results. But you did right. You are one of my good friends who's under 5'1".
That's the start. Anyway, let's rip into it. Ireland 29, the All Blacks 20. I have to say, from watching that match, and we've been discussing this yesterday, you know, I felt the Irish, as they always do, they come with passion, but, you know, really, I felt the All Blacks really got played off the ball. Some fantastic displays by that Irish back row, that Cronin, Caelan Doris, that front row of Tag Furlong, Andrew Porter, Ronan Kelleher, but, you know, and, of course, the Kiwi boys, James Lowe was fantastic, and Gibson Park at halfback, really, what a nice pass he has, and well led by Johnny Sexton. The All Blacks were, I have to say, AJ, I felt they were outplayed and out bullied a bit.
Oh, look, you've summed it up. You've got to take your hats off and give credit where it's due. They just seem to come out with a pretty committed game plan. They stuck to it, and the Irish, you know, they bring out their best against the All Blacks, and I guess that's a pat on the back to the All Blacks, where they see our country as rugby players. But boy, they matched them. Well, they outmatched them, didn't they, Piggy? They bullied, which is a good word. Took them on physically up front, right across the board. Give a pat on the back to the boy Dalton Papali'i, who never gave in. But honestly, their loose forwards. You mentioned it, Doris Cronin, the South African Van der Vlier, but all over the park, their energy, commitment, their physical presence at the breakdown was just on for, what, over 90-odd minutes for the test match, and they thoroughly deserved the win. And as you said, the Kiwi boys in the back line, Arki, Gibson Park and Lowe, what a great moment for them to play against the All Blacks and taste victory. That doesn't come often. And they can put that into their CV.
Well, I was going to say, in the last 5 years, Ireland's actually making a habit of beating the All Blacks, because we've probably played each other six times, and it's basically three apiece. And of course, Ireland are coming out here next year, and that too is going to be a real good one, AJ. Oh. But I have to say, looking at the All Blacks' performance, I've got some real concerns, because next week becomes, you know, and then taking nothing away from the Irish, they thoroughly deserved it. In fact, I felt, you know, that scoreline at times probably didn't justify how the match really was. But, you know, they've got France next week. Now, really, this is crucial for this All Blacks team. You know, they really need to win, and I believe they need to win really well, AJ, because I believe there could be a real lack of confidence after this.
Well, I think the All Blacks usually bounce back, and mentally I just don't think they were there. And we know rugby, a lot of it is up top 2 inches, and they just got a bit rattled. And we said about the game, they were dominated, and that doesn't happen very often, and when we do get dominated, we seem to battle, and it just goes right through to the back line. They looked a bit lost at times, and so, yeah, look, rethink, got to park it. You're going over to France, played there many times. It is a different ball game than playing them away from home. They'll be a bit keen at training this week, I'm sure, the French, knowing that there is maybe another chink in the armour, so they'll prepare accordingly, and they'll be emotionally ready to go. So the All Blacks, they've been here before, Piggy. They just got to sit back and just say, hey, I didn't pull finger for this test match. Let's just get together. We know what we've got to do. We've got to dominate. And if it starts up front, it hasn't changed for 100-odd years. If you're not winning the battle up front, you're not going to win it anywhere. So they've really got to sort their front five out, get that grunt, get that muscle, and get right into them and give our loose forwards an opportunity to show their class. And that just flows into the back line. And, you know, when we get good ball, you get an opportunity, we can score tries. We saw from Jordan. And so we can make tries out of nothing, Piggy. So I don't think it's difficult. It's just to reassess and get yourself up for this one because you want to make sure you have a nice summer.
You definitely want to make sure. And I think, you know, unlike, you know, tours in the end where a lot of these Northern tours, a lot of these games against the likes of the Islands, Wales, England, Scotland, France, they shoot... I believe the All Blacks mentally should be preparing as if those were like World Cup knockout games because they become so crucial. Anyway, we'd better move on to the gift that doesn't stop giving, the NPC. And I tell you what a great weekend. Starting off on Friday, Otago 44, batter with 2-16. I have to say, Josh Aote is showing us what talent he has got, and it was a fantastic forward display as well, too, by Otago, AJ. I mean,
Look, I think Otago over Manawatu, they have been one of the better sides. Otago certainly liked the way Ione's playing, seems to have stepped into his role, very comfortable. I like the boy, Lente's always on the wing with Fischelli, so in the loose forwards, and Lente's number seven. So, and look, when you've got Coltman, anyone like Coltman in the front row, they're going to be a handful, and they were just too big, too bulky, and just showed their class in 44-16. Yeah, fair result.
Yeah, of course, then in the other championship semi-final in absolutely atrocious conditions, Taranaki 25, Southland 13. And, you know, there wasn't really much in that game, but yeah, I have to say that Taranaki forward pack, Neil Barnes has got them running really well.
Yeah, and look, they have been the best side in that competition. And when you have that sort of conditions, I mean, this is what Southland play. They'll probably be ringing me from Invercargill, but, I mean, that's just like a normal game for them in those conditions, and that suited them. Again, Banks, you know, very shows his leadership qualities there, and I was quite impressed with their big locks, Everson and McKee. But, look, it was Taranaki's there to lose. And with big Sui Carlo at the back there, and sort of nice combination with Crowley, Montrose, they just played and did what they had to do, really, didn't they? Just to get them over the line.
Yeah.
And this is the big one. This is the one they've been aiming for. They're the best team in the competition, and hopefully they have a dry track. You'll see a good game of rugby because both these two teams love to spin the ball. So I'm expecting a very open affair, and I reckon it could be a pearler.
I think it will be a pearler. Tasman 33, Hawke's Bay 27. Now, the rat, this joke of the rat I've been telling you about, he said where the shield's locked away and everything. And there'll be a bit of disappointment. They wanted to send out Mark Osnes, a winner, but that Tasman side, I tell you, Mitchell Hunt had a great game, and I knew him, but this guy, Sager, who's coming up for the Blues, the boy from Frankfurt in Germany, geez, he's a player.
Yeah. No, he stands out all right. He gives it all. And as you said, you know, Nelson College, old boy. I've watched him for a couple of years. He's made the under-20s, et cetera, Cigna, and he's going to be a huge asset to the Blues. But, yeah, look, sentimentally, Hawke's Bay, you'd think, like to see if they could have made the final and have a crack at the double. Tasman, you write them off at your detriment. And, look, they've had two finals in a row, two wins. They've been there before. I just think a bit more experience came through. And maybe a bit of tiredness from Hawke's Bay, being on a high to defend Shield for the season. You know, they weren't quite there. I mean, Anari and McClutchy, yep, good combination. But I think they just turned over a bit too much ball. You never get a bad game out of Flanders or O'Connor. But, look, I just don't think they were right there on the day. Too much turnover, too many mistakes, and... they paid the price, one game to drop. That was in the semi-final.
Yeah, And, of course, then we had... it was a real... And this was another one, atrocious weather, but really gritty winds for Waikato, who's had a really... had a difficult season, like they've had to relocate, but it was... And, you know, being from Canterbury, I don't hold any grudges. I think these poor guys in that Waikato team away from their families and everything, but real solid win by Waikato over Canterbury.
Yeah, and look, it was always going to be a close one. Two teams who have had some pretty ups and downs during the season, but you mentioned it, fair play to Waikato, playing away from home, playing at Rotorua, and been living down that way. So they've done it tough, and I think it's great to see them there. And look, they've got an opportunity. Haven't been in a final for a while. Good loose forwards, solid in the front row there. I think they've just got to come and play their best game of the season, and they've got some exciting backs, and Sullivan and Darway on the wings with Coombs, Fabling. So look, if they get some good ball, I think they've got an opportunity against Tasman. And again, I think the season for Canterbury, your likes of Romano's and Dalzell in the middle row, they've always been solid. Dixon, Prenser, Callow. Mm. But yeah, they've just been too inconsistent, Piggy, and couldn't quite get it over the line. And I think that just sums up their season.
Certainly does. I think they were lucky to be there in the first place, Canterbury. Well, we go to the finals. Well, I'm actually going to pick the winners, and I'm going to pick that Otago is going to upset Taranaki, because I think they've got some really good momentum going into this. And I'm back in Tasman, where the final's likely to be either Blenheim or Nelson to beat Waikato, because I think both of those sides from the South Island are coming in with momentum, major.
Yeah, look, I think it's a final that we're all a bit surprised about on paper and form. If Hawke's Bay were there, I would have said put my house on it. But look, I think this will go either way. And it'd be nice for Waikato sentimentally to secure it due to the upset, they've been travelling away from home. That's the reason I'd be picking them. But it wouldn't surprise me as Tasman get up, but being there done that. So, we'll have to watch that one. But the Otago Taranaki, nah, it's got to be Naki after what they've done through the season. Give them a dry track, and I think those farming boys down there, they'll be eating raw meat, tackling fence posts this week, and they'll be saying, right, it's our season. We need this match to put the icing on the cake.
Yep, that's true. Well, AJ, thank you very much. Always great to have a chat, and hopefully we can get a bit of freedom and maybe catch up for a beverage and sometime, hopefully, in the next few weeks, AJ. You have a great day, mate.
I'll be going through that wallet of yours, mate, don't you worry.
Well, you'll find a lot of condensation in moss. Okay, AJ went, well, that was good. Okay, on that note, so next up, we've got Jordan Mills, CEO of the Wellington Saints. We're going to do a quick preview on basketball on the New Zealand Breakers season, which starts in the next few weeks. In the next few minutes, we'll have Jordan Mills on.
Down, down, down.
Welcome, everyone, back to the Whisperin Sports Review here on Planet FM. And, of course, now we talk probably the biggest game internationally, basketball. And, of course, we have one of my good mates. He's the CEO of the NBL New Zealand champion Wellington Saints. Please welcome to the show, Jordan Mills. Jordan, good afternoon to you. Hope things are going well for you, mate, today.
Good afternoon, Eamon. Thanks for having me, as always.
Yeah, no problem at all. Well, we might as well rip into it. The New Zealand Breakers start their Australian NBL season. Of course, you know, there's a lot to like about the Breakers, a few departures, but, pardon me, there seems to be some really good new players coming through. Obviously, through the NBA system, we have new stars in Osman Deng, I hope I got the pronunciation right, imports in Jeremiah Martin and Peyton Silver. And there's also a big Kiwi signer, Yanni Wurtsel, as well, too. So to go along with your Tom Abercrombie's and your Finn Delaney's, what's some of your thoughts on what the business the Breakers have been conducting?
Yeah, so they played their first preseason game on Saturday evening against Melbourne. Yanni Wurtsel didn't play, so that was a big loss for them. But he's a huge acquisition. You know, for their title aspirations this coming season. They are very different to what we've seen last year and a bit more foreign with two French additions, and then they've got an Indian development player coming through as well. So they're not, you know, heavily New Zealand local-looking team, but they're extremely talented, and Jeremiah Martin looked the goods on Saturday night, that's for sure.
Yeah, it seems as though what they've done at the Breakers, they've obviously gone out, well, you know, in the past we've had a New Zealand contingency, but really they've gone out and they've just looked for good imports that have had, which have been proven, and such as NBA also have been proven in Europe. And, of course, you know, this Kiwi signing, Yanni Wurtsel, well, that's a huge signing. And really, since Rob Lowe last season didn't really stand up to the Breakers, this guy, and people listening, this guy's the goods, because he was supposed to be playing in Europe, but the contract fell through. This guy's good.
Yeah, he's extremely talented, and he's still pretty young. I think he's around 24. He's a lot different to Rob Lowe as well, so they complement each other really well. Yanni's more of a post presence, probably a bit better athlete than Rob, and Rob's an outstanding three-point shooter and perimeter option for the centre position. So they've got a lot to offer, and they complement each other well.
And, of course, you know, we've still got the consistency of the Kiwi boys that are in there, like the Finn Delaney's and the Tom Abercrombie's, and there still is. And they've brought some Sam Timms as a development player as part of the Breakers from the New Zealand NBL. So there is still that New Zealand presence in there, Jordan.
Yeah, there is. Maybe not as much as what everybody would hope or expect if you compare with the Warriors or the Phoenix or other Kiwi teams. But Finn's an outstanding, and so is Tom, New Zealand players up to the top level of as we can get in this country. And Sam looked really good on Saturday night in their preseason game as well. I think he had 10 points, and he's an extremely talented young man. He's 6'10", 6'11", and still reasonably young, so he's got a lot to offer as well.
Yeah, and just from your honest opinion, can the Breakers make the playoffs this year? Because for the last couple of years, you know, from an outsider looking in, the talent's there, but this time, can they really make the playoffs and really be a contender for this year's AEMBL?
Onto your first question, 100%, I think they can make the playoffs. It's a long season. There's a lot of health issues that they've had in the past that's hurt them with injuries. But they've got the goods to be a playoff team. But there's some strong teams in the Australian League this season, so I personally don't see them as a championship team, but anything can happen, and they're still definitely in the playoff mix.
of course, you know, you'd be probably looking at the championship teams like your usual suspects, like the Perth Wildcats and Melbourne United. They probably would be the favourites going in, wouldn't they, Jordan?
Yeah, I think those two teams are always up there. South East Melbourne Phoenix have got a lot better this year, so they'll be a team to watch out for. And then, of course, the Sydney Kings are always a formidable side. And the Wollongong Hawks, or Illawarra Hawks, who played really well last year, I think they've got slightly better. So they'll be a team to watch as well.
And, of course, there's a new team from Tasmania this year as well.
Yes, so they played their first preseason game yesterday against the Brisbane Bullets. They lost by about 6 or 8 in the end. Their imports look really good. Their Australians didn't really play that well yesterday, but it'll be interesting to see how they go, and it's good for the league with expansion. I think they'll be, first year, they'll be towards the bottom end of the table, but still good for the league.
Yeah, I think it's really, really good for the league, and hopefully one day we can get an AMBL team. Hopefully we can get the Wellington Saints in that AMBL team and maybe win it, and we can have a celebrate and have a few drinks, Jordan. As you know, I like to have a few drinks, so yeah. Hey, just a couple of things, local stuff. Great, the Otago Nuggets, SENZ have come in and to actually take over the franchise. Yes, that's really great for them because, you know, in these tough economic times, we cannot, especially for New Zealand basketball, we can't let another side fold over. So that's really good news.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Nuggets' first full year back in the NBL was this season, and they did really well. They were owned by majority of the Rusk family, who are run by Angela, who's a great lady, and they saw the opportunity to grow and get a bit more financial backing, which is great, and it's great for the league, and it's great for the Otago region, which is another, you know, region that's basketball's growing exponentially down there.
Yeah, and it's good for the league because we don't want to lose too many teams, because I know it's tough times to, especially if you've been a sports franchise, CEO of the sports franchises, it's been really tough for you guys. Just a bit of NBA, Stephen Adams has been getting regular time with the Memphis Grizzlies in the NBA.
Yeah, he's started every game he's played. They're a really, really talented young team, led by Ja Morant, who's probably a top 10 point guard in the league now, the way he's been playing. You know, I think their mix is really good, and Steve's added to that with his culture. You know, they're a playoff chance this year, which is exciting for Steve. And hopefully their young guys keep growing and keep getting better.
Which is good to see. It's always great to see Stephen Adams playing in that NBA, you know, just to have that New Zealander there in the best basketball league in the world, starting, you know, contributing, and, you know, like his, he's doing a lot of rebounds this year, Jordan. He is on fire with rebounds.
Yeah, and defensively he's been really, really good, which they lacked in the centre position last year, and it's visible that he's made that a lot better. And he does little things like sets really good screens. He just brings a bit of grit to their team, which the Memphis crowd really seems to like.
Certainly was. And, of course, looking at some of the conferences, also mentioned another New Zealander involved in the NBA, Sean Marks, the GM there, of course, in the Eastern Conference there. The Brooklyn Nets are second behind the Washington Wizards. And in the Western Conference, I see it's back to the usuals with, I think it's, let's have a look, is it the Golden State Warriors that are leading that, Jordan?
Yeah, they're 11-1 at the moment. Steph Curry's been absolutely unbelievable. And they've still got Klay Thompson to come back at some point from injury. But they've started the season on fire. And as you said, the Eastern Conference has been really good too. Brooklyn and Chicago Bulls have been playing really well again, which is cool to see. But it's still early. There's going to be a lot of changes, and the Lakers are struggling a touch, but LeBron's been out for the last few days, so they go as far as he goes.
Yeah, well, that's true. And well, I have to say, Jordan, it's always great having a chat, and we'll be having more of these chats as the season goes on, with a bit of with the Breakers and the AMBL, and we'll try and do more of focus next year also on the New Zealand NBL. But I hope that your week goes well, and hopefully we can maybe over the summer period, I might pop down to Wellington and maybe have a quiet ale with you, mate.
Love to, mate, and look forward to talking soon.
Yeah, cheers, thanks a lot. That was Jordan Mills, he's CEO of the Wellington Saints, and of course, real good basketball analyst, really knows the stuff. So, on the other side, we'd better talk about it, the cricket. Aussie done it again. So, we've got former black cap Hamish Marshall, who incidentally played in the first game of men's international between Australia and New Zealand in 2005. So, he's going to be on there on the other side. So, we'll just play a bit of music and we'll have Hamish Marshall up next.
We built this city. We built this city on rock and roll. We built this city. We built this city on rock and roll. Say you don't. Recognize my face. Say you don't care who goes to that kind of place. Knee deep in the hoopla, sinking in your fight. Too many runaways eating up the night. I'm on a Coney Place, the Mamba. Listen to the radio. Don't you remember?
Here on Planet FM, and of course, if you got up this morning like I did to watch the World 2020 World Cup final between the Black Caps and Australia, where I must admit, a bit disappointed and a bit sad, but you got to give it to the Aussies. They know how to win finals. But here to talk to us is the real expert. He's a former black cap. He was involved in the first ever Men's International 2020. His name is Hamish Marshall. I remember him scoring a brilliant century against Australia at Lancaster Park. And this was when Australia had the likes of McGrath, had Warney playing. Ooh, I tell you what, that was a hell of a good innings. But welcome to the show, Hamish. How are you?
Good, thanks, Simon. Nice to be here.
Yes, nice. Well, I have to say, mate, we get up early, we love our cricket, and of course, you know, I have to say, the match started off well for New Zealand, 172-4. I have to say, Kane Williamson really batted brilliantly and, you know, really showed aggression at the right time. His innings was fantastic. But I have to say, Josh Hazlewood's bowling really became pretty hard to get away along with Adam Zampler.
Yeah, it's a funny old game, 2020, when it comes to, you know, performing on the big stage, and Kane certainly did that. And this one, I had a good friend of mine ask me, has Kane ever performed in the big matches, the finals and things? And I said to her, well, I think he's got 250s in the World Test Championship final. So he has, and that certainly quashed that question from my mate, because he batted beautifully yesterday. And, you know, when it comes to the big games, you want your big players to stand up, and Kane did that, I guess. You know, it was a bit disappointing that Guppy couldn't get going, because, you know, he's someone that can smack it out the ground, and unfortunately, you know, not getting the runs off the balls he faced, so it put the middle order under a little bit of pressure, and we couldn't get that extra 15 runs we needed.
Yeah, and I think especially against that Australian attack, you know, if this had been, say, against Pakistan, England or India, you would put that down as a good score, because those pitches are a bit slow as they're heading to, have been quite slow during this tournament. But, you know, that Josh Hazlewood, he's a very, very good bowler, Hamish.
Oh, yeah, he is. And you haven't seen him much in the IPL. They've sort of protected him in Australia, you know, for the right reasons, because they wanted to play for them more often than they do in the IPL and get injured. But we just saw that his height and pace and hitting lengths consistently is hard to get away, so... They probably knew that, the players, before they went into it and had plans, but sometimes, you know, bowlers can just be too good.
Yeah, well, that's it. And, of course, Ampner didn't bowl that badly. And, of course, you know, that title, that score was probably about 15 or 20 too short. And, of course, there was a bit of excitement when Finch was out early after some really good bowling by Trent Bolt, who this morning I felt bowled at Stanley and under pressure. But unfortunately, the man we all love to hate in New Zealand, David Warner, along with Mitchell Marsh, really tore us apart.
Yeah, they took the game away from us. And look, Mitchell Marsh's first ball pretty much set the tone of how the Aussies were looking to play that innings and pulling it out the ground. I think he might have had a four the next ball and then a four the following ball. So it was a tough one to watch. And I think our bowlers were just put under pressure straight away, and it made it hard for them to get into the game, barring Bolt, who mirrored Hazlewood's fantastic bowling spell. So, you know, it's just one of those games where the guys will look back and, you know, they'll rue maybe not so much opportunities, just probably the way they executed. And I did hear that Kane said the ball was getting slightly wet, and knowing from throughout that tournament, that ground, if you batted second, you generally won the game. So it was always a little bit on the toss. But, you know, they won't use that as an excuse. They would have liked to have executed a bit better and created a bit more pressure. But the Aussies were very good as well, so I'll give them some credit.
Yeah, I think we have to give Australia credit. They came into the tournament. Neither side came in as the big favourites for this tournament. But, you know, Australia had got a very well-balanced side, as does New Zealand. But, you know, despite what... despite the result, and I know it wouldn't be the most desirable results for, say, Gary Stead and Kane Williamson, there has been a lot to like about New Zealand in this tournament. And, of course, the experiment with Daryl Mitchell opening the batting, I think, has just been absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, Daryl's certainly been one of the bright lights of this tournament. Actually, the whole team, in a lot of ways, getting to the finals are a great achievement. And we've enjoyed watching them for quite some time now, in all formats, which has been great. So, you know, guys like Daryl stepping up and showing that he's versatile and can bat middle order, top of the order, just strengthens that outfit even more. Knowing that guys like Finn Allen are back at home, and various players. Conway wasn't playing in this game. You know, we've got good depth. So, you know, look, it's going to be a good summer, and hopefully, you know, we can continue the momentum we've had through the Test Championship and then this 2020 World Cup. Certainly take it to India and then come home and have a good summer.
Yeah, well, of course, you're correct there, Hamish, and we have put three 2020 internationals against India starting this week, I believe. Also, three test matches, which I'm really looking forward to. Devin Conway, as we know, is out for that. Daryl Mitchell has been added to the test squad. And, of course, the summer of cricket begins on the 1st of January with Bangladesh coming here. And South Africa, who haven't been here for a few years, I'm really looking forward to some of those matches. Australia in the 2020 series, and of course we have the Women's World Cup as well too, Hamish.
Yeah, look, we've got plenty of cricket to look forward to, and I think the Black Caps, as long as, you know, I mean, the Bangladesh tour will be a good one for them to warm up for that South African one. They generally dominate Bangladesh when they're here, but they're an improving side, so let's see what happens there. But South Africa will be a challenge. They're a side that are, changed a little bit with some of the older players leaving and some young fellas coming in, but they certainly look pretty good, so that'll be a good series to watch. And then follow that with the Women's World Cup. Certainly there'll be some entertainment to be watched there, and I think there'll be some good crowds, hopefully, if the government allow it.
Hello?
Hello?
Okay. Sorry, we're just losing you there, Hamish. Keep talking.
No, it's all right. I'd done, Eamon. I was done.
sorry about that. Yeah, sorry, Eamon. Yeah, so hopefully the government, we're still live on air. Hopefully we do get crowds. And, of course, Hamish, you're still involved with the Wellington Firebirds in some capacity?
Apart from going and watching when I can with my young son. It's pretty much just work in the office for me.
Keep talking. I'm just losing you, but it must be at my end. Sorry, Hamish.
No, I certainly follow them and enjoy watching them. They've been a pretty entertaining side in the last few years, and Wellington Sport's been doing pretty well, and they're a part of that. So we get down to the Basin Reserve when we can.
Yeah, well, let's hopefully we can get the crowds back into the cricket. And I have to say, Hamish, we really enjoyed your input in today, and you know, it's actually thank you for coming on here. And I hopefully we can do this again sometime, Hamish, because I'd really like to get you on air, and you've really enjoyed listening to you today.
Yeah, no worries, Eamon.
Okay, thank you very much, and have a great rest of the week. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Hamish Marshall, ex-Black Cap, really great. Gave us a great in-depth into today's final. Well, next up we have the old Silver Tongue, Silver Fox, and I'm just losing my voice a bit, so let's go to a bit of music.
Bangkok, Oriental sitting in the city, don't know what the city is got. The creme de la creme of the chess world in a show with everything but Yul Brynner. Tyrolean spa had the chess bars in it. All change, don't you know that when you play at this level, there's no ordinary venue. It's Iceland, or the Philippines, or Hastings, or this place.
One night in Bangkok, in the world's job buster. The bars are temples, but they're called Saint Free.
Brother.
It's a drag, it's a bore, it's sweet as such a pity to be looking at the ball, not looking at the city.
What do you mean? You've seen one crowded, polluted, thinking town. Get tired, you're talking to a tourist whose every move's among the purists. I get my kids above the waistline, sunshine.
Next to me. one would a muddy old river or reclining Buddha. Thank God I'm only watching the game, controlling it. I don't see you guys rating the kind of mate I'm contemplating. I'd let you watch, I would invite you, but the queens we use would not excite you. So you better go back to your bars, your temples, your massage parlors.
One night in Bangkok, the world's your oyster. The bars are temples, but the pearls ain't free. You'll find a god in every golden oyster. A little special, little history. I can feel an angel sliding up to me. One night in Bangkok makes a hard man humble. Not much between despair and ecstasy.
Okay, welcome everyone back to the sports review here on Planet FM, and of course that we come to this time of the day, the adult part of the show, the sensible part of the show, which is our sporting expert and of course the old silver tongue, Silver Fox, who's sending me photos of his Irish passport proudly yesterday. Good afternoon to you, Mr. Summerfield. I hope you're having a wonderful day.
G'day. I've just been outed as a carpetbagger, haven't I?
Oh, yeah, I know. Anyway, I suppose we better do this. Ireland 29, the All Blacks 20. I'm going to say this match next week for the All Blacks is very crucial, and it's crucial for Ian Foster. Even though he's been signed, it's crucial for him. It's crucial for confidence as well too, Sean, but we can't take anything away from that Irish effort.
Yeah, but it was untidy against Italy, not that convincing against Wales. And I think, and let's not take anything away from Ireland. We're buggers in New Zealand for always sort of trying to take credit for a loss instead of accepting that sometimes we can get beaten. So let's make it clear from the start that the All Blacks were beaten by a side that outplayed them, and they outplayed them across the field. Normally you could say, oh, the All Blacks were better in these positions and this position, but nah, not this time. They shut down Savia. They had it all worked out. The wings were completely depowered except for a couple of moments of individual brilliance, which I think the All Blacks depend too much on nowadays. Sexton had the refs there. He got that worked out. We saw from when Coles came on, he had a bit of go at the ref about Sexton being lippy and used some rather blue language. We could see that section had frustrated the All Blacks. He really got in them. I don't want to take it away. I think Whitelock is doing a really good job as captain, and he's more astute and student of the game than we probably give him credit for. But we don't have midfielders who can just run straight and burst through. I'm remain completely unconvinced about Rika Ioane, especially at centre. Maybe put him on the wing. But mate, who's our most incisive weapon in the back line right now? I reckon it's Damien McKenzie, the smallest player in international rugby.
And of course the biggest thing is he's off on a sabbatical next year to Japan, so we're not going to have him next year. But I have to be quite honest with you. You know, it feels like we have to do individual brilliance by Will Jordan, but the midfield, it's a total train wreck at the moment. I heard them mentioning on the Sky after match, which they're all too scared to criticise the All Blacks, is Quintipiyah is the next option. Now, Quintipiyah is a good player, but I feel that we really dropped the ball by letting Nani and Lanapi go. We haven't got anyone coming through in provincial rugby or super rugby, with the exception of Jack Goodhue, who I still think is a good player, Sean.
Oh, look, and that's what I'm saying about individual brilliance. I mean, they did shut down those wingers, but we depended on that individual brilliance. That was the only real... The All Blacks didn't construct anything. The All Blacks, the Irish had done their homework and had them sewn up. At no stage did I think the All Blacks were going to steal this game back. you know, and yeah, I joked about my Irish citizenship, but that's beside the point. I always support the All Blacks. I'm never, never upset when the Irish beat them or play well against them because I like the way they play. But I, this midfielder thing we talk about, you know, you can say what you like about Ryan Crotty, but he was prepared to do his job, and sometimes you've got to do your job and it's got to be selfless. And that enables the team to win. You can't have two locks who are fringing. You've got to have someone who's prepared to do the crap work. You know, there's all these things. I mean, I tell you what they did, though. They shut down Savia. And I'm sorry, but Perenara, he's a bodybuilder this year, but I think he's slowed down too much. He's not a starting international halfback. He's good when he comes on when they're tired. But we did nothing to create doubt in the Irish.
Absolutely, Sean.
You can't beat them.
Yep, you're dead right, Sean. You're not going to get a disagreement out of me on that because, you know, let's be quite frank, you know, the Irish probably could have beat us by a lot more. And, you know, this All Black side, on paper, man for man, probably should have beaten Ireland. But this Irish side, they play smart football. And the All Blacks, we might as well start now, they got beaten up.
Oh, mate, they did in every way. And look, let's just say there was 51,000 people. It was a tremendous sporting occasion, probably one of the greatest sporting occasions the world's seen in the last couple of years. It was just everything that was good about it, you know. And I just, from Michael D right through, mate, she was just fantastic to be at. When they were belting out Fields of Athenry, my daughter went, oh, is it right to sing during the haka? I said, babe, when they sing, the crowd sings and it's not someone leading them. It's a beautiful thing. Everything about that was great. And I'll tell you something, the All Blacks are flattered by that score. Like they were flattered against Japan, in Japan with against England. The score actually masked a far bigger beating. And I'm not trying to jump on those guys. I'm not saying anyone didn't give it their all. But we have to concede here. We were completely outplayed man for man by the Irish.
Yep, and you know what, Sean? You know, you're not saying that they're not trying. You know, you're giving them a sport and opinion as I am. And, you know, we totally agree. And I think anyone, if people need to take off their blinkers, this All Black side, for all the individual talent, it's not playing like a team, as far as I can see. But anyway, we better talk about...
Just before you were going from this, remember that feeling you always had, no matter what was going on with the All Blacks, they had that ability to pull it out at the end. They've done it against the Irish. You know, players like Carter and Mertens and all that over the years could just do something that was really special. Callan, all these guys. I just, at no stage did I feel we had the power to pull it out. Maybe Will Jordan, but they had that all sewn up. And I don't know, the Irish were making ground when they attacked. I've never seen the All Blacks give a team so much room.
Ooh. You know, Sean, you're absolutely right. I'll also point out one more thing before we move on to cricket, is that, you know, no offence, Richie Mwanga's a brilliant player, but he doesn't look great going back. And, you know, I actually think Beauden Barrett going off a bit earlier with a head injury, you know, like Beauden Barrett, he'd be one player who is a game breaker that can spark an attack.
He is, but see, I think Mwanga to start, Barrett to come on, because he creates that another level of doubt because he's a multi-positional player. He just has that extra ability with the boot, and tactically, he is the guy that you'd bring on at the 55-minute mark. But I'm a bit down you wouldn't get the job coaching this team, but I think the job should be open.
I don't know about that. At the present time, I'd actually would have Barrett started. I just think he's more used to the pressure situation, Sean. That's what I'm saying about him. He knows how to play under that immense pressure. Anyway, we better talk about it. Australia beat us again, Sean. David Warner, player of the tournament for the 2020 World Cup. Oh, yeah, I'm beginning to hate the world, but I have to say I thoroughly enjoyed this tournament. I've really felt, even though we've got beaten in the final by Australia, you know, this Australian side's good. And I felt the Black Caps in this whole World Cup had been brilliant.
Oh, exactly. And, you know, the fact now we've got a team that are being respected across all forms of the game. We're a team who are legitimately capable of beating these big teams. Okay, let's see if we can win the series in India and what we can do in Australia, but that's all to come. But the thing that gets me, because, again, this team is everything that's good about sport and cricket, and we saw that the way they handled what happened in England a couple of years back. But Gary Stead, do you go back a little bit longer? Do you remember when everyone was calling him off and he wasn't the guy to coach the team?
Mm-hmm.
He was absolutely just slammed. And we look at him now, and have we ever had a New Zealand cricket team that's been so good?
Never.
This is our best Black Caps, and I say this carefully, team. Not just a Hadley or a Crow. I'm talking about, or McCullum, I'm talking about a team. Yes, yeah, there's players that have to stand out and do things, but this guy that everyone was saying was rubbish, I think he's bloody awesome. Remember when he wanted to have that break and he was told he wasn't good enough to have a break?
Oh, yeah. He was criticised by the media. But I'm going to say something about this. New Zealand cricket should actually be commended by standing by him, as should the players. And, you know, the big thing, this is a once-in-a-generation in New Zealand cricket side. We may not see a side this good again in our generation, but I am going to say something. I know that, you know, in the past you had, in your days working for TV3, you had dealings with New Zealand cricket. I tell you, there's a lot that's good that's coming out of New Zealand cricket. I have to say that they communicate better. They seem to have their house in order a lot better. Well, as you know, let's have a look at rugby union. It doesn't seem to be that transparent. I don't know. That's the way I see it, Sean.
I know you did, old mate. It's like dealing with the Communist Party, and I've been in there. You know, I've dared speak out at times. I've known colleagues who've done their job and broken a story and been banned from being at the ground to report the game. That's happened. It's been documented. Now, with cricket, they were always great to deal with. Some really good people there. But I think right across this, they're such a great bunch of sports people. And, you know, I think that the fact that they were so written off and they've just come through and they've become, you know, giant killers. And we genuinely thought they had a chance against Australia. Would we have thought that 5 years ago?
No, absolutely not, Sean. Absolutely. And you know what, Sean? I think anyone that's a cricket supporter in this country, and it's great for this game, you know, we're identifying talent. And with this talent coming through, and you know, Sean, this cricket side puts a smile on people's faces. You know, a lot of us would love to see them win a one-day World Cup at one stage. At the next one, I'd love to see us win that.
Yeah, but look, I go back to what happened against England. That, for me, defines the team. They didn't win. They were robbed in the most brutal way, but that's the way it happened. It was fear. Didn't stop it being brutal. But they handled it with such dignity. But also think, too, the people that are involved in supporting that team, there's some really good people from cricket involved. And honestly, that we've got to be so proud of them, and they deserve every bit of support they get.
Certainly is. Anyway, a bit of motorsport. Well, the F1 is really beginning to heat up a bit. Sean Lewis Hamilton won this morning in Brazil, but, you know, him and Verstappen, this is going to be a real drag out to the end F1 season, Sean.
Yeah, well, it's funny. I mean, I think I'm starting to wonder if we do use analogies from what we've been talking about. Is Verstappen a bit like New Zealand cricketers, that they can do some amazing things, but suddenly they're up against Australia and they run to the final? And, or the another analogy in the past, you know, that we, when we believed the All Blacks could pull something out at the end, that's exactly what's happening with that All Black Mercedes right now. They've taken the engine penalty. They've put that new engine in. It's clearly a rocket. What Hamilton did coming from last to fifth in the sprint race on the Saturday, and then coming, dropping more places and coming through to win. And it was an amazing drive. It really was. And you can't take anything away from Lewis as a driver, nor can you from Mercedes as a team. There's always the debate, is it the team or the car? The truth is it's both. Because if it was just the car, then Bottas would be finishing neck and neck with him. That's the simple reality. He's not. So I'm saying that Verstappen's ahead of Perez. But the way Hamilton drove was sensational. And I think there's a little bit of hint of ugliness below it all. I saw the way Toto Wolff reacted when Hamilton got past and everything there. When they both went off the track, there's a little bit of snarky comment going on. But, hey, that'll add to it. And the fact is, I reckon these two guys will respect each other like, you know, there was respect between some of the great rivalries throughout both Formula One and other sports as well.
Absolutely. And, of course, the supercars, there was a bit of a don't let Jamie wink up what it'll let. Didn't listen to his manager to let the Giz go past, and of course, but the Giz is still leading the supercars series.
Yeah, and he's got his margin. He's only got to keep that. He could have it wrapped up before they go to Bathurst, but who knows what's going to happen next week. Look, I can't remember it's going to be the team boss next year. So it was a little bit of irony to that one, but look, it adds to it because if, you know, I want this series to be a little bit alive when it goes to Bathurst, or at least it's going to be alive next week. I mean, that said, though, Bathurst, you know, yes, it has an influence on the championship, but winning Bathurst means more sometimes. But, look, we've seen some awesome stuff with Anton De Pasquale and Will Brown. There's some brilliant talent coming through in this series, Eamon. And, you know, I think the end's going to be pretty thrilling. A lot of people would have questioned Eastern Creek, Sydney, as the place to host these last four rounds for Bathurst, but it's actually been pretty damn thrilling.
Yep, and I tell you what, I'm looking forward to Bathurst, so I'm definitely looking forward to that day. Well, Mr. Summerfield, it was great having you on, and I hope you, as we try to sort out the sporting world, and I hope you have a great rest of the week, and hopefully Jacinda lets us know when we can have Freedom Day and a pint together. You have a great day, mate.
51,000 people, eh? Watched the game of sport. How good was that?
Fantastic. There'll be 51,000 pipes on Freedom Day, I'm telling you that now. On that note, we might as well cut out the show. Thanks, everyone, for listening in. Thanks to AJ Jordan, Hamish, and, of course, the old Silver Tongue Silver Fox. Hope everyone has a good day.